Thank you. So I'm continuing my talk about the church and what I see as our challenges and strength and maybe what God is calling us to be. And of course, I'm still using the voice of Paul, the great church evangelist. The scripture I'm going to read in just a moment is probably familiar to you, but it's pretty much relegated to weddings. It's so warm and fuzzy and sweet as apple pie. But the thing is, and I love reading it at weddings, but the thing is, when Paul was saying these words, when he was writing these words, he wasn't saying it to a couple getting married. He was saying it to the church. He was saying it to the body of Christ. He was talking about us, about how we're supposed to be. And so I invite you to listen to these words as we hear God's word to us today. I tell you, it convicts me every single time I hear it, so listen with me. From 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For we now see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, and then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It's not envious or boastful or rude or arrogant. I love reading this passage, especially at weddings. It's a great passage to read as two people commit themselves to love and fidelity and to honor one another on the good days and especially the hard ones. But if I'm going to talk to the church, you all, I had to talk about love. Love is how the world is supposed to know us, by the way. And the Last Supper in the book of John, Jesus tells to the disciples, this is how they will know you are my disciples, that you have loved one another. This is how they'll know you are a follower of me, if you have love. You know, that's it. They will know us not by our beautiful sanctuaries, and gosh, this room is gorgeous. They will know us not by a minister with 2.5 kids that look really cute on the website. No, they will know us by our love. They will know Christians by our love. That's it. Don't get me wrong. Websites are important. Oh, I only have two kids. I see some people whispering back there. Sorry to call you out. There's no big reveals here. Websites are important. Nice pictures on your website are important. Beautiful sanctuaries are great. I love it. But the truth is, they will know us by our love. For Paul, it all comes down to this. Faith, hope, and love abides, he says, but the greatest one is love. It's beautiful. It's poetic. It's true. We know it's true. I just can't help but wish Paul had said something a little bit more. If he had just said a little bit more about that love. Yes, love is patient. Love is kind. But love is hard. Love is risky and difficult. Because that's the thing. It doesn't matter if you're talking about romantic love or the love you experience in a church community. Love may be patient and love may be kind, but love is challenging. I'm telling you, it is. You know this. We mess it up. We mess it up time and time again. We care about number one. We care about ourselves over others. We are often self-centered. And when it comes to churches, well, Christians love to argue about who deserves this love, who has earned this love. We love all right, but that love comes with strings attached, doesn't it? I remember a quote of someone said once, love others so well that you forget to ask if they deserve it. And I always think when it comes to that question of earning love, deserving love, the truth is we're really asking the wrong question. I think the question we probably should ask is, how best do we love them? And love looks differently in all kinds of situations and circumstances. The other thing I think we Christians tend to forget is that we just think it's going to be easy. You know, if we're doing all the right things, if we're doing the right things, if we are loving, if we are putting love first, then, you know, it's all going to just be easy. And I think ministers, we are the worst about this. When things inevitably get tough or challenging or a bump in the road, I'm telling you, ministers are sometimes the first to want to wave the white flag and say, you know, that's it. That's it. We just think this love your neighbor stuff is supposed to make it all gumdrops and fairy tales, but it isn't. It's hard. And let me give you a perfect example of this in our current ministry right here. You know, this past year, our youth ministry was booming. We had regularly over 30 sixth through 12th graders there. And I mentioned that to my clergy friends, and they are envious of that sort of community outreach because half, if not more than half, were kids in the community who are not members of this church that were just coming because they wanted to be here. In fact, most of them have zero experience with church, zero. Nobody's taken them to church. They don't have a church any other place. And so we have this challenge because there's always been an element of this, frankly. There's been an element always. But this year especially, it was quite evident to everyone. Where we notice that some, and many, frankly, of these kids in the community who were coming through our doors with real huge challenges and needs, physically hungry. Someone told me they didn't eat any time that week except for at Bible school. They lost parents to drug overdoses, parents in jail. They were being raised by grandparents, aunts or boyfriends or girlfriends and their family, and they had experienced real trauma. And let me tell you, when I asked for joys or concerns at the close of our youth group, we regularly had prayers for a sick dog or prayers for the big test the next day, but we also had prayers for Dad who was trying to stay clean, prayers for Mom who no one knew where she was and she was concerned about her safety. Real hard stuff. It was hard. Still is hard. Week after week, they were coming in our doors, and what they needed was love. And that's hard. Let me tell you, it's risky. It's challenging. No easy answers. I think when I begin to feel that sense of the weight of that risk and the fear, I'm mindful that, you know, Jesus didn't ever say it's going to be easy. He didn't say it was going to be a piece of a cake. In fact, actually what he said was take up your cross and follow me, the path of sacrifice. I say this to you because you may full well already know that the church is supposed to be a community that is known by our love, that this is the place where people should know that Christ's love is lived out here, and that the people who come through the doors are trying to figure out in their own lives, in whatever way they can, how to live that out with their family, with their coworkers, in the grocery store, at the bank, everywhere in between, how we can live that love out. That's it. It is as simple and as unbelievably hard as that. How to live out that love in our lives. And I know you get it. I know you do. I know you do. When you read that passage, you're like, yeah, I get it. That's why you're here. You could be at the lake right now, but you chose to be here because you care. You know this. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and I understand all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions, hand over my body so that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. Love. It's what we're supposed to strive for, but gosh, it is not easy. You know, just this week, I saw this image on the news that took my breath away. You know, the news is hard to watch sometimes, but this on the news was awesome. You might have seen it. A couple of boys in Panama City were vacationing at the beach with their family, and they were doing what little boys do, and they were swimming out in the waves, and they got caught in a riptide, a scary riptide. And their family first noticed that they were in trouble, and their family ran out to them. But they got caught too. They got swept up in the tide and they couldn't get to shore. And they were just out treading for water and they had called for emergency responders, but it was going to take a while. And so what they did is it was a few people standing on the beach that said, here, take my hand. And they formed this human chain of 20 to 30 people standing out in the waves, taking wave after wave until the very last person could reach somebody and pull them out of the dangerous waters. Love is patient and love is kind, but love is jumping into the waters. Love is holding on for all you've got to help a stranger. That's what love is. And as you go forward in this next chapter of the church's life, I know that there may be some fear or uncertainty, and maybe your inclination right now is to just pull back a little, you know, wait and see, circle the wagons, hunker down. But you can't do that. Can't do it, because we are called to love. It is as simple and as hard as that. Fear says, nope, we can't do it. Nope. There is not enough money. You heard what the minister said earlier. Not enough. Nope, nobody cares. Nope, we will fail. Love's holy answer is yes. It is. Think of almost all the amazing things of your life. And I guarantee you, it's usually on the other side of yes. The Spirit's answer is yes. Think about it. I think of those on the mission trip who had never been on a plane ride. And there they are going to the Dominican Republic on a mission trip. And they were scared because they didn't know what they were getting into. But they said yes. I think of this new ministry of Family Promise that is just waiting to get going, and the 54 kids that need desperately someone to pay attention to that. And the good news is it's on the other side of yes. Let's do it. Let's see what we can do as a community together. And I think of Heather, who is stepping into the waters of baptism today and is saying yes to Jesus Christ and faith in her life. And I think of the amazing vocation of ministry that I have been called to. And I think I would not have any of it if I hadn't found a way to say yes. Yes. Fear says no. I'll get it together. Fear says no, but let me tell you, the Spirit says yes. Don't be afraid of new or different or hard, because the truth is, that's the ministry. It is. So, if you need a little inspiration, We need a little reminder. Well, just watch Heather step into the waters of baptism today. Watch her take the lead, because his mercy is wide and his love is great. And he's already said yes to you. He's already said yes to you. So follow his lead. Roll up your sleeves, because it is love and only love that invites us. Amen.